Hello, hello. You are tuning in to the Hygge, episode one. This is our first episode of this podcast, and we're very excited to get started. My name is Kyle Robb. I run Aravean Works, which is where we host this podcast. And even though the podcast is not directly associated with Aravean Works, it's part and parcel to our production and the work that we do. So, you know, this podcast is something that we're just putting together as a labor of love. We enjoy making it, we enjoy producing it, and we hope that everyone out there who's listening enjoys listening to it. And you know, of course, we want feedback about the show, and we're just getting started. We're sort of feeling our way through and figuring out what exactly our form is going to be. We have a really good idea, and we've launched with that, but we're going to improve it as we go along. But we love to get feedback too, so feel free to drop us a contact at the bottom of each one of the podcasts, or send us an email. You can do that via aravean.com, and you can also send us a tweet at aravean works. And yeah, so if you have any questions or comments, feel free to leave them or send them our way. So the podcast is a production of Aravean Works, but it's also part and parcel to the energies and time of our friends. And Jaren was gracious enough to join me today to do the first episode. And we were going to talk about all kinds of different things, and then we just decided, nope, you know, we're going to keep the main theme of just stuff that makes us happy, stuff that we enjoy, things that conjure up, you know, positive emotions and good feelings, good vibes all the way around, and we'll just go from there and see what happens. So that's what we did. We hit on tea, we hit on video games, especially Journey. I don't know if you guys have played it, but it's epic. It's been out for a while now, but we've both sort of gotten knee deep in it recently, and so that came up. And just general discussions. It was kind of light fare, but for our first episode, we were pretty satisfied. So sit back and enjoy. Like I said, leave comments if you have any. And here we go. The Hygge, episode one.
Welcome to The Hygge.
It doesn't do it, but that's the first stage of going from sound wave to I actually hear something, right? It picks up those vibrations and then starts to transfer it. So yeah, in a sense, the way you hear yourself is going to be totally different. Not totally different, obviously, but you're going to notice a very clear difference because you're a total expert in how you hear yourself in the real world all the time. And then soon someone puts, you know, a mic in front of you and then headphones on your head and then plays back your voice to yourself, you go whoa, because it's being filtered in a different way.
Oh, that's so sad.
But that's also like sad. The equipment, you know, the mics and the cables and
I don't like
how isolated things are and what's being filtered out and what's not, EQs and compression and everything else.
Therefore, I don't listen to recordings of myself and I don't watch videos of myself.
Well, that doesn't It's not a bad thing. Like, you can totally do that.
But, yeah. I'm used to things being a certain way up here. And when that changes, it's like, who is that? So I'm probably not going to listen to this when we're done.
No, you're going to have to.
No.
It's our first one. You have to totally listen to it.
Nah.
You have to totally.
I'll trust your judgment.
No. Well, other people will listen to it.
That's totally fine.
Five other people will listen to it, and when those five other people listen to it, they're gonna go, "Oh, hey, there's Jaren."
That's totally fine.
And you're gonna have to say, "Oh yeah, okay, I acknowledge the fact that I sound this way."
Like, I can acknowledge it without listening to it, can't I?
Well, you can, but
that's what I'm gonna do.
I'm sure there's some sort of violation of philosophy there that if you don't actually know what you're acknowledging, can you really acknowledge it?
Okay, well, we could go into that for a couple of hours, but several famous people don't listen to their audio recordings.
That's true.
Musicians, that's true. Actors,
right.
All of that. James Taylor doesn't listen to his records.
That's true.
He doesn't watch his movies. Neither do I. I'm not in a movie, but if I
was. Where do you think that comes from? Is that like, do you think that's like they are so absolutely confident in their work, or they just don't want to hear themselves?
Option B, probably. There's.
But then why not? Why would you not want to know, you know, are you doing a good job? Does it, I mean, I guess you get the response from the crowd or how many albums you sell or reviews and people go, hey, sounds great.
That makes sense. Yeah. He's had a great career and
he's had a decent career.
I consider it great. He's still making music. He gets paid to do what he loves to do.
No, I was being facetious. He's had an amazing career.
Okay.
He's had an absolutely mind-numbingly good career.
Oh, oops. Right.
And still does, I think, right?
And Johnny Depp, still toured, he right? doesn't watch his own movies either. Okay, well, I can't speak for anybody else, least of all famous people, but from my own limited point of view, the reason I don't watch myself or listen to myself is because I'd rather feel like I'm doing a good job while I'm doing it, while I'm on stage, while I'm sitting here right now talking to you mm-hmm. and the five people who are going to listen to this,
mm-hmm.
then go back and watch, you know, a video or listen to audio recording and think of like the million things that I'm self-conscious about.
So when That's you listen it. To yourself, it's immediately like, oh, I have to address everything that I'm hearing right now. Oh, there's pops in my voice. Oh, yeah. I didn't enunciate very clearly uh-huh. there. Oh, this, that, and the other.
Exactly. Don't need that. Don't want it. So I just avoid that altogether. And
fair enough.
I have every Dances Vineyard DVD, and I haven't seen none of them. I ain't seen none of them, and I'm not going to.
You haven't seen none of them?
Not a one.
We should, because like we got to see it from third person, and it was a great show. And everybody obviously says it's a great show, because you just get great reviews every year, and you guys come back and do the show. Year after year, which is compliment.
I just trust the performance. I heard from you. I heard from everyone else, family, people who wanted to come up and say hello. That's enough.
Okay. I totally understand. I wouldn't want to be in a situation where I have to address the quality of my work constantly. Like, I think there's an obsessive compulsive nature to that, you know?
Because you don't have to, but...
You don't, but... It's the other thing is when you work on something like really, really intensely and you're absolutely tenacious to the project and you're playing it back and you're trying it again and you're practicing a small part and then practicing it in whole and performing it and performing it and performing it. You do that again and again and again, and it becomes, you know, it's only human nature that becomes a little normalized, right? Everything kind of, the lows and the highs and the intense parts and the non-intense parts, they sort of start meshing together and just become this long, constant thing that you're trying to do. Whereas if you were to just perform something, walk away from it, and then a year later go listen to that performance, it's going to sound so fresh to you or totally different, you know, than what it did when you were on stage or when you were in the studio or behind a microphone or, I mean, even if it's like writing something. I've listened to so many other podcasts of, you know, writers talking about the work that they've done or something that they wrote and how they go about their writing process. And then they'll write something, walk away from it, come back to it like a year later, and it just takes on a whole different visual image for them.
Hmm.
So I think that's a unique way of looking at addressing your own work. I don't know, you don't have to. Yeah, absolutely. Everybody's got their own style. It's not like either always listen to your stuff and be super meticulous or never listen to your stuff and just be, you know, fly by the seat of your pants. I don't, whatever works.
Crap. I didn't think of it that way.
So this is our first episode of this podcast, number one. And the Hygge is just a podcast that's going to be about happiness and being comfortable and enjoying the company of your friends and things that make you, you know, smile and get a kick out of life. And so we're just going to sort of talk about those different things and our perspectives on how that affects us and why it's important and where it comes from. And then plenty of other topics I'm sure are going to weave their ways into the conversation, because you have a lot of interests and a lot of like creative pursuits and things that you like to do. Yeah.
Oh.
I have a lot of things that I like to get into. I mean, our conversations could go anywhere from sound design to dance to video games to anything nerdy, really.
And anything can be made nerdy.
Craftsmanship. By the way. Oh yeah, totally. You can nerd out on anything. like awesome custom handmade things to gardening. I'm like reaching
gardening
for topics
makes
now,
people
but,
happy.
But like, yeah, whatever it is that makes people happy. You know, I think nature ends up being an element that comes up in the discussion when you talk about people being happy. But whatever. If it does, if it doesn't, we'll just see where it goes. But
if it doesn't, then leave that out.
Don't force it.
Because but we don't need that. Am I wearing makeup? Yeah, I am.
I can't see your face through the pop screen.
Yeah, it's
okay. A very big pop screen.
I don't want to touch
my
face.
You have
face.
A very small face, so it kind of covers your entire face.
I have a small face.
And yeah, well, I mean, in front of, if you just walk around with a pop screen in front of your face, people, I think, you know, they'll see the relationship between the size of the pop screen. And okay. They'll go, yeah, Jaren has a small face.
Oh, I thought I had a rather large face to go with my rather large head, but
you are all of like 98 pounds. How is it even possible for you to have a
It goes
large
back
face?
To that principle we were talking about self-awareness. I'm not going to say self-consciousness. Self-conscious sort of implies this negative view of yourself, but consciousness
like
of self is not negative.
No, that's true.
So I don't know why people say that.
I would argue that that is, not argue, but I would claim that, yeah, that's important for happiness, right? If you're
going
to be happy,
self?
You have to be aware of yourself.
Yes.
Right? Because if you're just aimlessly wandering, then it's kind of difficult to know what makes you happy.
So how did self-consciousness end up translating into self-criticism?
Because
that's not what I'm talking about.
I don't know. That'd be an interesting thing to backtrack through.
Between our interdisciplinary studies, like
it'd have to be something media related, right?
Oh well,
got to come from a social tendency.
That's true.
Comparing yourselves to someone else, and then that's being self-conscious because you're looking at yourself and comparing it to how somebody else addresses a certain situation the way you do, or
then you could get into
topic.
Standards of beauty.
Right, yeah, that's a good example.
Celebrated beauty norms.
Right.
I like am self-conscious, but I don't, however, regularly walk around saying like, oh my God, I shouldn't wear that because I look like meh, because that's not true.
Well,
and
you could probably get into semantics pretty heavily, but I think, at least from my experience, the big breakdown difference is self-consciousness and self-awareness are sort of the divide on the same topic. So self-awareness tends to be considered more positive, right?
Right.
And self-consciousness tends to be considered slightly negative or have a negative connotation. But
I don't get it.
Awareness in general is always good.
Maybe I should just change the terminology that I use and just say I'm self-aware, which I probably said a few minutes ago.
You probably did.
Yeah.
We're not going to go back and check. But
all right. Well, you know, you're going to record this and it's going to get posted and I'm never going to listen to it. So it's totally cool.
But I'm going to somehow sneak it in. I'm going to turn the entire podcast into one of your ringtones. And suddenly, then you'll get hooked. You'll be like, what did I say after that?
Oh, then I said something else. I'm going to have an hour 45 long ringtone.
I'll compress it down. The quality will be real crappy.
Okay.
But it'll be decent enough that you'll be able to make out what you're saying.
That'd be really funny. Yeah. Or you could try it.
Or be like, it's totally ridiculous and I can't believe I did that.
I'm giving you an idea. You could just sort of record it, press it on a disc, wrap it up in a box and be like, happy birthday, I got you something. Hand me the box.
I'll
open it.
I'll get like a CD press and I'll make a completely obscure label to like a band that looks awesome and we'll put some like graphics on it and I'll be like, oh, you gotta check out track 3 is sick.
That'll be in the car. I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna listen.
Every
to
track
this.
Is gonna be just, you know, there'll only be two tracks on that. Well, actually no, for 45 minutes.
You break it up into like 5 minute increments. and make it look like the disc is is like.
And then like suddenly, when you go to the next track, it's just you going.
Yeah, over and over.
Self-awareness.
That would really be funny.
Well, we could do that.
But
if, you already now I've already told you the entire plan.
If
so
you
it's
do it,
useless.
Make it like 5 years down the road when I've forgotten
you're
about
too,
this.
You're too aware. Yeah, you're too
I'm
aware
not
right
too
now
aware.
Of the no of the plan.
Oh,
so
too
now
aware
it wouldn't
of the plan.
Work.
Yeah.
If I tried to do it, it would just.
Just get creative. So we talked about one way to sneak that in. There's a multitude of different ways to get that over me.
That's true. There are a multitude of different ways to get that.
So,
but
I won't be on the lookout.
I thought an interesting talking point would be sort of the stigma of happiness. So we constantly live in a culture today where everything that's going on is very instantaneous, right? And things that take a little more cultivation or a little more work tend to be marginalized, not intentionally, but maybe just, you know, in a more automatic way, if that makes sense.
I think so, so far.
But so there's this stigma, though, around happiness, right? Like you can have a couple different approaches to the word happiness or the concept happiness, especially when it's presented in a social situation or through a media outlet. Like if you go and somebody says, today on this talk show, blah, 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 we're going to talk about happiness. You're almost guaranteed, to some extent, you're almost guaranteed to get like a group of people who just roll their eyes because it's like, this is going to be some mundane discussion and it's going to be, you know, very sugar-coated and not very deep or kind of just there to only make people instantaneously feel better for a small amount of time and then fade away. So it's going to feel super artificial, right? And that definitely happens.
That makes sense.
There's definitely those conversations, right? But then you also have the approach of like the super, sage-like, uber-wise discussion of happiness. And that can sort of ostracize some people because it's like, well, this is too presumptuous, right?
Or like Oprah's super Sunday-level happiness.
Yeah, yeah. Or I don't know if I consider Oprah to be an ultimate sage.
Well,
or,
not
you
her
know, life.
As the point of the topic, but just her bringing up the point of the topic.
Right.
I have seen Oprah Super Sunday, and like her guests include sage-like people.
Right. Okay.
And it sort of has that stigma you were talking about when somebody mentions anything about Oprah Super Sunday. It's kind of like you hear the big sigh, like, oh. You watch that?
Why do you think that is, though? Like, why do you think, you know what I mean?
I don't know. Are some people afraid of happiness? Or are they just comfortable in their
Maybe.
Ways?
Maybe. I don't know. Where does comfort? Like, if you are truly happy, are you boring? And is being comfortable boring? Like, is that why people don't necessarily gravitate to it and say, I'm happy and I'm comfortable? Because then that person is no longer interesting. So then, or they at least maybe in a self-aware way, you see that ahead of time. And you go, forest through the trees. Is that the phrase? Forest for the trees? Forest through the trees? I think
for the trees. But if you change one word, you can make a whole new phrase.
That's true. Thank you.
You make your own
that's a good
shit.
Point. For the trees.
Redonkadick.
Right. So that shit's redonkadick.
Cheers.
Forests for the trees, right? And you say, oh, if I'm happy and I'm content and I'm comfortable and, I don't know, complacent, then I'm no longer interesting. Therefore, I am not entertaining. I don't know, which I think is a redeeming factor these days. Or a lot of people hold it on a pedestal, you know.
Entertaining.
How entertaining are you as a person,
yeah.
right? How entertaining is your life? Is it entertaining enough to put it on a video
right.
or to
or
tweet about
show.
It? Or right, exactly. So like
that is a total rabbit hole.
Well, it is a rabbit hole. And sometimes, I mean, obviously that can have really positive results, but it can have the opposite too. But so when you go down the road of how do other people perceive my existence or my life? Is it interesting? I think when you put in the mix, I'm happy and I'm content and I'm comfortable, people just go, that's good. Good for you. And then just like meander off in a different direction, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like,
that makes complete sense.
Either you've figured something out that they haven't and they don't want to talk about it, or they think you're boring now, or and you very well may be, you know, quote unquote boring because you're not doing a lot of interesting stuff or this,
okay,
that, or the other.
But I have a feeling this happens a lot where I work, which is a huge reason that I don't connect with many of the people there. I have come to my own conclusion, I suppose, just from observation. I'm not necessarily avoiding contact with these people because I'm unhappy, but I notice that a lot of them gravitate a certain way.
Like what? When you say gravitate.
Gravitate towards topics of discussion that are non-productive. A non-productive or non-uplifting, if that's
okay.
A good phrase. So what I'm saying, without using common language, is most people are talking about some bullshit, and I don't really want any part of it.
Why? Like,
why
because
do I not
if
want
most
part
people are talking
it?
About that, there must be something intriguing
well,
about
pop culture,
discussion.
For example. And, you know, we were mentioning there's a lot of reality TV show things happening.
Mm-hmm.
Television in itself, watching it and participating in things that have nothing to do with you or your own forward movement in life.
Mm-hmm.
So when a group of people want to congregate and discuss pop culture,
mm-hmm.
like gossip or celebrity gossip is a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
I find that uninteresting a lot because it's got nothing to do with me. And, you know, it's not my life, so.
Do you think that offers them some sort of component of happiness, though? Do you think that plays into their happiness?
I think it does, but I think it's absolutely temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next day they're going to be talking about some other.
Right. There's that. There's always that feeling of this might be a little artificial.
Yeah.
Or, well, then in that case, like, so you encounter that situation. What to you makes for positive, constructive, happy conversation? And not like a cheesy way, you know, like no bullshit. Just what to you is fun to talk about or enjoyable?
Okay.
Like
I
truly
get
enjoyable.
Truly. If I'm going to talk to somebody and we're going to have a productive paper towels. I'm kidding. A productive discussion.
No, I was breathing out.
Like,
I thought
you spilled something.
Breathe into the microphone.
I get
I'm probably doing anyways.
Energized by people who are ambitious, and I like talking about things that we want to make happen,
mm-hmm.
whether it's collectively or individually. I like to talk about them.
For example?
And then, for example, like, I like to talk about travel.
Okay.
I like to hear about where people want to go and why. I like to hear about where they've been, what happened, what they saw, what they did. Like, you know, adventurous things that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
I like to plan things that I think are going to be exciting. And then I like to carry out those plans. And then when I carry out the plans, I like to come back and be like, A, B, C, this was awesome, and here's why. And then, like, once I do that, I want to, like, move on to the next chunk of excitement.
So for you, there's a process. There's, like, a very clear, not a totally clear template. Yeah, but there's some sort of process that you can say, if I'm partaking in this process, if I'm doing A, B, C, in whatever order or to whatever degree, then I'm happy because I'm visualizing it, or then I'm making it happen, or, you know, it's a component of construction. Like, I'm building towards doing something.
Yes.
Right?
I like essentially, I don't want to do the same thing over and over.
Is that like same a fear thing, like, or just like
no, it's just
it's happened I've, before? Or?
I feel like it's growth. It's a growing process. Because, and I was like thinking about this by myself one day, just sort of laying in bed, looking at the ceiling. And you have a popcorn ceiling and I don't.
I hate this.
It's so 80s.
That's what you get. I know.
But it's
I
great.
I know.
You can count the knots and like name them. But
this is exactly 12,497.
See, that's what I would do when I can't sleep at night. What in the world was I talking about? Okay, yes. I was actually thinking about relationships, and when you're in one, whether it's romantic or not, it could be your relationship with your best friend who you've known forever, or, you know, your partner or your whatever, your mother or father, family. What keeps relationships interesting? And I thought, like, there's got to be some kind of... No one's going to be the same person their entire life.
Yeah, of course.
It doesn't matter if you try to or not. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
So if you were in a relationship with someone and you were in this growth process, what keeps your dynamic interesting? Interesting. Like, does this person try new things? Do they have fresh ideas? Do they ambitiously pursue their own dreams and goals if they have any? So I was thinking, like, let's say... I was involved in this growing process because I'm a human being on this planet, and I wasn't, this is my own philosophy, by the way, I wasn't put here just to stay in one place, do the same thing, and be in the same vibration my entire life. So I was thinking, what would a person do to be interesting? So there's all sorts of things one could do to be more interesting. You know, read books, travel, like I said before, learn something new, a language or a trade or a skill. So I guess I'm big on always bringing in new things. And I'm very attracted to people who are vocal about things that they want to do, that that would lead to growth on a personal level. I think that's cool.
I think that's a very good point. That growth must lead to some sort of, like, I don't know, positive vibe too. I feel like even if you go out on a limb and you do something that you intend to, I don't know, you hope that whatever you're trying to do is going to improve you somehow, and then for some reason it doesn't work out, or it doesn't improve you, or it doesn't turn out the way you planned, that still somehow you get a very, like, constructive return on that investment of time and energy.
Yeah.
But that not a bad thing. Even if it does turn out negative, still constructive. And in a way, I think that leads to one's own good times and good vibes and happiness, because you get to see that road that you've already walked on. You get to go back and go, oh yeah, and then that time I did that thing and it was totally ridiculous and I can't believe I tried that, and then another time I did that thing and it turned out great and I made a bunch of new friends or whatever it was. Like, you get to look back at that and say, I went from this to that to this to that to this to that, and that whole path that you've walked up until that point really is, you know, your journey to find out who you are, which ultimately is your journey to find out what you're all about, right? What is it? What is it that makes you you?
Correct.
And if I've always had the philosophy is, if you figure that out, you will be happy. Like, bad situations, good situations, if you know yourself, like, through and through, you're good. Like, good.
So, like, the thing is, like, figuring it out. If you had never done any of those things and you'd never had that experience, you would not, you wouldn't know, or you would have less of an idea.
And then you kind of just meander. And I think that is the biggest thing, right? That can be frustrating when you don't have that direct path, when you can't go, I am doing this for this reason because of this, and it's going to afford me that, or it's going to lend me the skill of XYZ or whatever. And by doing that, I am, I don't know, somehow completing more of myself. If you don't have that and you're just kind of I don't know what I'm going to do, you know, like, and I'm just kind of figuring it out.
Autopilot-y.
Yeah. Oh, that's like soul-crushing at times.
Well, and that, unfortunately, is where a lot of the people that I work with are. And for some reason, you know, I show up at work. They think I'm like the most creative creature that they've ever interacted with, which I find funny because I don't really see myself that way. I just follow the wanderlust, I guess.
You do your thing. You do your clothing design and
yeah, I do.
Music, and you know, you have the ability to maybe demonstrate that to them.
Yes.
But I think more than anything else, right, you have the ability to go, hey, I'm not exactly the same as you, but that's cool. And maybe somebody will see that and go, Jaron is doing the same thing I'm doing as far as a day-to-day work, you know, situation goes, but she totally interprets it a different way than I do, right?
Yeah, that I see that. Actually, I can see that. I don't see it because I'm not them.
Right.
I'm in here, they're out there, but I just don't know what they think of me. And that's totally fine.
Well, the big question is that being self-conscious or being self-aware?
Well, maybe neither, because I don't give a fuck, really. That job, we will not discuss, but it is seriously a means to an end.
Yeah, we won't get into the nitty-gritty details of all that, but...
why do you work?
Sure.
Why does anyone work? Why?
Because you got to make money.
You got to make money.
You got to make money, Jaron.
Why you got to make money?
Because you gotta buy stuff.
And why do you have to buy stuff? Because someone told you to?
Because you want things.
Are you manipulated into buying and wanting things?
I don't know.
It's possible.
If I didn't have money, I wouldn't be able to buy. I wouldn't have been able to buy the things that made this podcast available.
That is very true. But you were purchasing things that you were going to use for your specific purpose.
Still needed money to buy them, though.
Okay, got it. However,
still would have needed a job to get that money to get. Things.
Yes, you're right.
So
some people want things that they don't need.
True.
A lot of people want things they don't need.
True. But okay, well to turn the conversation, what's something you've purchased recently? Like something that you had to work for and then you made the money and then you spent that money on that thing that you truly bought out of this is going to make me like not just feel better momentarily about my situation. But like, and let's take food off the table because that's like an easy
target.
That's a
need.
But let's something
Mostly.
You didn't need, you didn't absolutely need, but it made you, it really enhanced your life somehow, like in a very concrete way.
Something I did not need.
Yeah. So food, you know, I was going to say oxygen, but you don't buy oxygen.
Really, well, we kind of do.
and we could go down that rabbit hole too. But cool. So, like food, water, shelter, blah, blah, blah. Like all that stuff.
Those
put that aside.
Count. Okay.
Those don't count.
I wasn't going to do this, but... Wait, food, food, shelter. Does clothing count?
Well,
garments?
Yeah. Okay, we'll allow clothing because it's such a... It's a really broad field.
Because I can tell you something that I bought that I absolutely did
okay,
not need.
Shoot.
It was a journey scarf.
Oh yeah, you told me about that. The one, the hand.
Yeah.
Hand knitted. Hand
yep.
knit. Hand knitted.
That's
hand,
the one.
Hand knitted one.
And it was kind of expensive. And it's kind of a non-necessity. Because
okay,
you don't
but
really...
then how does it? So then, how does it improve you? Like, how does it make you more happy or make you more Jaron?
Okay, well, the thing is, I love Journey.
Mm-hmm.
So
which you destroy Journey, by the way. Like we had the whole Journey situation.
Yeah, I did kill it like a lot, but there's
totally
more slaughtering to do, and I'll tell you about that in a minute.
Okay. Because
there's some fun things you
slaughtering
can try.
And I don't think Journey has slaughtering.
No, well, you said I killed it,
and I'm about to
kill it some more when
okay.
I learn how to.
I missed
when
it.
I learn how to free fly. Oh.
That went like literally right over my head.
Because
so.
you haven't been playing.
No, I did. I played it all the way through.
You did. You have been playing. Have you
I
seen?
Did,
have you seen any mysteriously moving robed characters in your journeys yet.
Like phantom characters? Or
their phantom-like movements would give them away, so yes.
Well, I played it through, and I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that are like, oh, you should have done this. But like, I got to that first arena, right? You get all the way through the sands, you get to that arena where you're on that center pedestal, and you have all those different portals you can go through. Mm-hmm. And I just picked the one to the far left because I thought, like, all in this one sitting, I'm going to eventually go through these. Well, you go through one and it's like point of no return. You go through it and you just start doing something different. You never make your way back to that. You can't even turn around once you get through. So I finished the game.
No, if you want to start over, you can, but you can't necessarily go back.
Right at that, we can't go back to the door. So I did that, and then I realized, no, now I have to play it through and see if each one of these portals turns out differently, which I don't know if they do. I'm sure someone obviously is going, of course they do. They don't, but I got to, you know, there's like 10 of them or 8 of them or 12 of them. I don't know how many, but I just started on the far.
I don't remember because I don't ever use those. I just play straight through.
Well, I guess you can go past. Can you just go past them? Can you not go through them?
Well, you can play the game linear every time. Because once you finish the game, and anyone listening to this, if you play Journey, you know what we're talking about. And if you haven't, you should. But spoiler alert.
It's an amazing game. It's so short, but it's amazing.
Yes, you can play straight through as many times as you want. And the zone, the level select, you can go wherever you want.
Are they all different? Does it end up in the same place? Yeah. Do you always end up at the mountain going through the... Okay.
You can... The little level select area, you can just choose which scene you want to go to.
That's what that is then. Yeah. So all those portals are just a further scene. A scene further in the...
Spoilers! Okay. Well, Journey kind of changed my life, honestly. You know what I've been dealing with.
Change your life so much that you bought a scarf.
Yes, because it helped me reflect a lot emotionally. Mm-hmm. The fact that you don't know who you're playing with.
Right.
You don't know. You could be playing with a dinosaur and you would have no idea.
Yeah. You could be playing with a dinosaur.
All you know is their glyph, and then you get to see who you've met along the way, and that's not even their real name and shit, and you're like, I'm going to friend request dinosaur.
Which would have to be a dinosaur with arms that would work.
Yeah, no T-Rex, because you have to have long enough arms to hold the
This is where controller. Slash would be helpful. Apparently, he's really into dinosaurs. Would he be able to be like, oh, you need to, you know, the whatever, Lilopolis or Aterra. Whatever. I don't even know dinosaurs. I have no idea about dinosaurs.
I don't know. Dinosaurs like a fun,
I had the book when I was a
concept.
Kid. You know, like the big giant books, and like one book would be about the brontosaurus or one book would be about the, you know, stegosaurus or something.
I don't know. I never had those.
I had a whole set of them.
That's really cool though.
I'm sure they're buried somewhere. But anyways, yeah.
Your parents might have them?
Probably. In a box.
I'd like to see that actually.
I could probably find them.
Yes. Anyways, I bought a Journey scarf because the game, I didn't know what I was getting into when I first started playing this game. And it is one of those things that if I had to list things that have influenced my life or changed it or something like that would be one of them. And I'm kind of emotionally attached to that game for several reasons. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely awesome. The soundtrack is banging.
These are detailed reasons.
Totally.
It's beautiful. It's awesome.
It's awesome. The soundtrack is absolutely bootylicious.
Oh, yeah, the soundtrack is really good. Who did that?
Austin Wintory.
That's it.
And
did a killer job.
I think those three reasons are good enough. So I found
it's a good enough reason to enjoy something, I think.
Totally. I started, you know, the scarf is a real thing, like not iconic. One of those things that's like essential, metaphoric. It's a integral, important, core.
Is it conceptually relative?
Yes. It's like a focal point of your traveler. And I bought a handmade version of the scarf.
Does it grow? Like if you come across other similar colored pieces of cloth in your daily routine,
grow.
Does it get longer?
It does not help you fly physically, but you know, if you close your eyes and metaphysically transport yourself into the fifth dimension, it probably would help you fly. You can do that too.
There's got to be a YouTube video out there of somebody wearing the scarf,
a journey scarf, like, trying to fly.
Fail.
They could talk about how they wore the journey scarf. And let's say they were meditating one day and they went to the astral plane. You heard about? No. I mean, you meditate, right?
Yeah, the astral plane.
Yes,
sounds a little.
Kyle.
I'm just saying that sounds.
Come on.
Tell me, explain the astral plane.
All right, really quick though.
Yeah, so give me the very very truncated version of it.
Truncated version is when you are in a meditative state.
Mm-hmm.
You can travel. You can astrally travel. Mm-hmm. You can travel out of body. You can have an out of body experience. So in existence, there are several dimensions, and the astral plane is in the fifth dimension.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that the truncated explanation?
This is going to be the truncated explanation. You can travel to the fifth dimension astrally, which is where your astral body, with lots of astral bodies, congregate, reside.
Not falsely, astrally.
Astrally, because this is physical. This 3D meat suit is a physical.
That is a great explanation of the human body. 3D meat suit.
But you can go to the astral plane.
It's a Mario character that never got fully fleshed out.
Meat suit.
Get it? Fleshed out?
Oh, good one. 10 points. You can meet your higher... You can consult your higher self. You can meet people who are... You are interdimensional. You can find out your pre-birth intention. You can meet with relatives who have passed on. You could run into anyone.
So you're saying
if you were wearing your astral body is completely different than your physical body. Not completely, but it's a whole different vibration. It's higher, it's lighter. The two can't exist. Actually, they can. That's not true. Okay. Well,
the truncated explanation, by the way.
This is delving into the medium length. You can put on the scarf and you can use it as a tool for your own focus. And if you experience an out-of-body...
Oh. Right, so like a rosary or a mala or something along those lines.
It's just an element.
It's a reminder of centering yourself. I get that.
Since in the game, the scarf is what actually allows you anti-gravity properties.
Mm.
You could focus on that if you wanted to project yourself astrally and you could meditate on your anti-gravity and
there's
it could
the
help
metaphor.
You.
Yeah, there's the metaphor. Well, maybe that's what, I mean, if you were able to sit down and talk to the people at that game company, maybe that's why they designed
that
it that
way.
Maybe that was a concept that they designed. You know,
I'd love to figure that out.
Foundation. I don't know. That'd be interesting. We should probably look up some interviews with them, see what we can find out. Something like that's got to be in existence on the web somewhere. On the webs, the interwebs.
However, the main reason I bought the scarf is because it was pretty.
Much like the game, beautiful.
Beautiful.
Totally awesome.
Totally awesome. And just bootylicious.
And did it have a good soundtrack? Did the scarf have a good soundtrack?
It will.
Oh, nice.
And the one I bought is a different version than the actual scarf in the game. This one reflects the embroidery patterns on the robe. That you achieve multiple times after playing and starting over.
Well, then, can you get a white scarf?
You can.
You
totally can.
But you don't buy that at the same time. You have to, wear the regular scarf for a while.
This shit was expensive.
Okay.
The point being that the scarf was damaged.
To come back full circle here.
I spent money.
It was expensive, and you spent money on it.
Because I just thought it was something cool.
Yeah.
I have scarves, and it's almost autumn, so it's about to be cold again.
Mm-hmm.
I totally don't need this thing, because I got shit to wear.
But what if your other scarves, like Smurfs, shouldn't they be Smurfs, according to
I think
English?
So. That's Smurfs, really sexier.
Yeah. Anyways. Scarves. So your other scarves that you wear or don't wear or they don't make you feel so great. You don't feel so special wearing them. But this one would remind you of your...
Of my badassery.
Badassery. That's a way of explaining it. Astral self, as you mentioned. Or, you know, just something upon which you could be self-aware, right?
Yes.
So
very nice.
I like this scarf because XYZ, and then you're aware of that, and that somehow relates to you as a person, and then you continue on your day.
Then, you know, you come across someone else in 3D who's a huge fan of the game. Who would
in their
recognize...
3D, in their 3D meat suit?
In their 3D meat suit, and they would see you sporting your anti-gravity.
And they'd high-five you?
Totally. We would be like, yeah, I'll meet you in the astral plane.
They'd have to high-five you, though, like 12 feet in the air, because it wouldn't be... The connection would be lost.
If we could high-five down here, and then we could high-five up there.
Scarf five, you'd have to hit it. You'd have to smack scarves or something.
I mean, if you want to, if anybody who's listening to this, check out Coast to Coast with George Morey.
We can put up a link. We'll put up a link in the thing.
He was interviewing, I forgot the man's name. I did. Who was talking about meditation, astral travel, astral projection, fifth dimension. And that's where I got all those bits of information. I'm still working on my
own. But he doesn't
own.
Make the scarves.
He doesn't, no. Okay. But you don't need the scarf to project yourself.
I don't know. It sounds like a pretty important component.
You don't need anything. The more experienced you get in meditation, the less tools you need.
Mm.
Having them to start out with can be beneficial.
No, in and of itself, though, meditation is a tool to help focus the mind. No matter where you come from, no matter what you do, no matter what you're into, like centering your mind and quieting down just for a few minutes can be super totally helpful. In many ways.
Yes.
Hmm. Is that good tea? What kind of tea did you have?
I am kind of jacked up right now.
Is that the name of the tea?
Because I've had like three
that
cups of
good
it.
Tea.
What's the green?
I'm kind of jacked up right now.
The Sencha.
Oh, it's Yamato. Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
And then I had your Himalayan fantasy, whatever it's called.
I love that. Himalayan.
It is Himalayan. Talk to a bunch of Indian people and hear
no, that's fine. That's fine.
You know,
pronunciations are word. They're a dime a dozen.
What is it?
They're
Himalayan
all right.
Paradise or Himalayan?
Himalayan bliss. Yes.
Bliss.
Or Himalayan
that's it.
Bliss.
And how coincidental that it's a mountain.
Are we
going to
talk in
mountain
in
bliss?
Odd pronunciations.
Why not? That's what the English language is for.
Pronounced Siachians.
English is an evolving language.
Evolving.
English. Language, the mountain. So we're talking about the Himalayas.
The mountain.
And then we're talking about the mountain and journey.
Mm.
And you got mountain bliss.
I try to do something journey, with journey, but also, journey just keeps coming out as a journey.
You know. Also got mountain bliss.
Anyway, so yes, the Himalayan bliss. It's a very good, very good tea. And I had my Isu matcha, which was really good. It was a little strong there at the end, as always, but... pretty good.
All that settling.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it
speaking
happens.
Of tea, we were going to mention Tin Roof.
Oh, yeah, real quick. Tin Roof.
I was in Raleigh 2 weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago. And I was looking for a place to get some tea, and we found Tin Roof. The gentleman who owns the shop and works at the shop is great. He has everything and more.
So
it's
you should
called
check
Tin
out
Roof
Tin,
Teas.
Tin Roof Teas in Raleigh.
In Raleigh,
what part of Raleigh?
I guess it's near the school. I don't know if it's downtown or not. I don't spend a whole lot of time up there, but there was a lot of activity. There were people out eating and
more
walking
the
their
Chapel
dogs.
Chapel Hill area, or
no? It's like straight up Raleigh.
Okay, like downtown city,
probably
like capital or small capital of North Carolina.
It's a nice place.
It
and
is a nice place.
The tea is fantastic. I ended up buying a white, which was. White coconut cream, very light flavor, light body, wonderful. And then I bought some genmaicha.
Okay.
And I didn't want to, like, his tea is like top of the line, and you could easily spend money in the triple digits if you want to.
Which would, even though it falls into the consumables, and this, I don't know if tea is a necessity, which should be. A tea should be a necessity.
I think
know.
So.
That's just an opinion.
And we're not talking about that bullshit you get at the grocery store.
No, we won't go down that road. You know, we won't have that conversation. We won't have that conversation.
If it's in a bag, it's really not that great.
I've had that discussion with folks all over the place.
Yeah, me too.
We won't get into that one. Well, we would have a really great tea house to go to here in Charlotte. And I'm sure we do. I'm sure there's some that I don't know about. But they're kind of hit or miss.
You pretty much know about all of them.
But Rex was the place to go until they shut down. And now they still... now So the tea house closed, but the company still operates and they still do wholesale and they're doing really well, actually. TRex.com. That's our Charlotte local tea house.
That's our alma mater.
Yeah, Jaren and I were regulars there for a while. So, but anyways, maybe we should contact Chris and Wayne and see if they'll we'll get a few more podcast episodes up and see if they'll sponsor us. That'd be sweet.
You know, Wayne he'd be on it.
There we go. And we'd be like, this tea's delicious.
He's radio ish.
He is. Wayne's been
that's not a real word.
All up on the radio for a while.
He's an expert.
All right. Well, we are over 45 minutes, which was kind of our target. Actually, we're about 50. So thanks for helping me out with this first podcast, Jaren.
You're welcome.
And we're still forming our ideas and we're still getting the hang of it and figuring out the exact direction. But I think we got a good starting point and we will only be improving from here. So
let's hope so.
Maybe I don't know how often we'll get these done, but whenever we both have some time, or we can get other people too, because it'd be great to get, we can have two more people in here and have them talking and doing their thing and giving their input. So we'll get that going too. But maybe, I don't know, another week or two, do another one.
A week is good.
Stuff's going on.
Wednesdays are excellent.
Okay. All right. Well, Wednesdays it is then. Cool. All right. Well, so we're good. Nice work. Fist bump. And you know what we're going to have to tell everybody? We're going to have to explain the game.
Oh, we're going to do that now? Podcast.
No, not now. It's just, there's no time.
That's for next time.
Yeah. Yeah. Next time we'll explain the game.
So if you walk up to anybody on the street and you say,
Nope. Nope. You just have to wait. You just have to wait. We'll explain it next time. There's too many details.
Too many details.
Epona's getting restless too, so.
All right.
Take her out. Okay. All right. Word.
Peace out.
Peace.
Clap along if you feel.
This has been The Hookah. And as always, thanks for listening.